You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Exodus and chapter 3. God. And in a study on Sunday, thinking that where is God? Where is His Word? God's missing more than it ought to be, and His Word is missing more than it ought to be. So therefore, we're trying to live in this unique country, republic, Declaration of Independence and that. We're trying to live in it without God and without the Bible, generally speaking. And the Constitution and Declaration in particular demands that you have God and have His Word. And without it, without God and His Word, you are in trouble. So now, in the light of that, in the light of God's unique, awesome person, wonderful person, and we're in His presence, we know how to say His name, G-O-D, very easy, God. Now, what is God? God is unique, essence, nature, being. He's very, 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 very unique. And thus, as we are in seeking to know Him and understand Him and appreciate Him. So God, you help us. That's why He's given us His Word. So therefore, God, I want to get little glimpses of His magnificent way of being who He is, doing what He does, when He does it, how He does it. Wow. So here's Exodus chapter 3. And you would recall, looking in Exodus, Moses is 80 years old. God introduces Himself to Moses. And God, in introducing Himself to Moses, Moses believed God, trusted God in a real way. And he left Egypt, had to leave Egypt. And he spent all these years all by his lonesome out there in the Sinai, Mount Sinai, out in the desert, all alone. And now he's 80 years old. God introduces Himself officially to Moses. And therefore, you recall, without doing all of it, in Exodus chapter 3, God had the burning bush. And God, I'll start at verse 2, I guess, at least a little. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw nigh, not nigh, hither, don't come near. Put off your shoes, thy shoes from off thy feet. Why? For the place whereof thou standest is holy ground. And God introduced himself. And so God being there, the bush became holy, the ground became holy, and Moses on that ground became holy. And the whole thing was set apart in a unique way. And God introduced himself to Moses at that bush, a burning bush. And now, it was an awesome introduction. So now, as you go, jump along in history, time-wise, and Moses goes to Egypt and does everything, the plague, 10 plagues, and all of those different things. And the Exodus takes place, and they exit out of Egypt and across the Red Sea to Mount Sinai. And as they go to Mount Sinai, our God is going to introduce himself to the people. So when you go to Exodus, now Exodus chapter 19, Exodus 19, if I can, in verse 17. directly. You'll catch the flavor of it quickly. This is at Mount Sinai now. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nither, that's the lowest part of the mountain, part of the mountain. Here's the mountain going up in the air, and they're down in the valley at the very bottom of the mountain. Here they are, 2.5 million people or so down the bottom. Down there. And God introduces himself in verse 18. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. So you don't want to just think of a little fire. You want to think of a melting steel or something, and the coals, the heat, the redness. You're looking at the fire. And the fire produces fumes, smoke, but not like some fires with whole lots of smoke. This is another kind of fire. But the smoke is coming from, think of hot coals, think of the fire red hot, looking at it. If you ever looked inside a furnace or something, and these are the old-fashioned furnaces, and you looked inside, you see the fire hot. That's what you want to think of up there. They're looking. So God introduces himself to them. Now, how did God introduce himself to Moses at the burning bush? How is God going to introduce himself to the people of Israel on the mount in a great fire? Now, that I want you to catch the flavor of that, if you would. And so in the process, over to Deuteronomy and in chapter 4. And in Deuteronomy in chapter 4, may I pick up, please, or you'll catch the flavor. It's all over. I'm just going to give you enough. If you were reading statement after statement, verse after verse, you'd keep seeing this, the fire, the fire, the fire. So what's prominent in it? The fire. What was prominent and outstanding to Moses? A bush that was burning that never burned up. Deuteronomy chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 12. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire, and ye heard the voice of the word, but saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. So there's no image, there's make nothing in my image or likeness. There was no way to identify God. The only way you can identify God is the voice. And what did you see? Fire, fire, fire. That's all you saw, fire. Now, hang on to that, if you would, and slide over to verse 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. So there is nothing, anything created. God is uniquely, awesomely, wonderfully different than all things. So we can't make anything like him or any way, shape, or form. So God, here he is. God makes himself known in the fire in a most unique way. Chapter 5. And chapter 5, I'm just going to say it all over again. But they heard the voice, they saw the fire, they heard the voice, they saw the fire. And in chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 23. 5 and 23. Yeah, let me get there myself. 5 and 23. And it came to pass, when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. They came to Moses because this awesome sight, the Moses, the burning of the mountain, and the voice, God speaking to them, was more than they could handle, as you know, as you read the whole context there. And in the process of all of that, sliding over to verse 26. For who was there? This is their response now. For who was there? Who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as we have and lived? No one, no one, no one, no one. Now remember, now Moses took his shoes off in the burning bush. Now God introduced himself to Moses. So now here's Moses, and they make it very clear that no one can, no one, no one, no one, no one. There's no way anyone can get to God like that. There's no way. Not on this earth, not in time, that we know in any way, shape, or form. So here's Moses up there, and Moses now goes up and down, up and down, up and down that mountain. Now, Moses going up and down the mountain, what do you know about that? Now, he goes, where does he go? Right into the fire. Right into the fire. Now, Moses, where on earth did you pick that up? I picked that up on holy ground in front of the burning bush. So when God invited me, summoned me to go up, I went up. And I kept going up and down, different times, depending on the time and the occasion. And up I went into the fire, an awesome fire. Now what's interesting is, you went up into the fire, came out of the fire. The Moses that went in is the Moses that came out. But the fire what? The fire didn't touch him. He was able to come right back down to them from up there, right smack down into the middle of them. Now, just you have to think about that. That's what God did. Now, over to catch that, over if you would to Daniel chapter 3. And you know, awesome, awesome section actually. And Daniel in chapter 3. And you'd recall in Daniel chapter 3, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, there they are, and they are not going to bow to the system, the government, the king, this whole system, everybody bow down to their image in the plain of Dura, etc. And that's what they did. They all bowed down. And so just like the Muslim thing where you see a huge thing and they all bow down. They're all bowed down, not to the image. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar wanted. I mean, in the process. And so now, so here they are. Now, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they didn't do that. They weren't going to assist them. They served God. They didn't serve that stupid image. They didn't serve the government of Babylon either. They didn't do that. They were there, captives, residents now. But you know what? They serve God. Now you would think in order to know the threat of death by fire, you would say, surely you're going to honor that. No. Have they learned anything from history? Well, Moses, and up and down into the fire. And Moses trusted God and believed God. And so we travel down the corridor of time. And the faithful, Joshua and all of them, Samuel, all of them were there trusting God. So what are you guys going to do? They're going to trust God. So they just stood up. It was obviously they were standing when everyone else was down. So therefore, they end up being thrown, punished. Now, and you know it, but I have to read it because, and so do you, because you won't appreciate where we're going. So now, Daniel and chapter 3, picking up if I can, in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we aren't cowards. We aren't hesitate. We aren't shivering, shaking. We're going to give you a direct answer. We're standing up. We don't intend to bow down, period. Wow. Now, so therefore, verse 17, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. So that's what they believed. They believed God was going to do what he's going to do. Well, but what about this and what about that? They didn't have all that talk. They just believed God. Do they have to have a big dialogue and debate about what they're doing? No, they're going to believe God. They're going to trust God. What are you supposed to do when you trust God? Trust him. What are you supposed to do when you believe? Believe. There's no debate, no dialogue, no discussion. You just believe. Remember that? We said it last time together in the prayer meeting, and we did it on Sunday a little bit. Eve added, and if I touch the fruit, I'll die. And she put it, remember we did it all last time, and that gives Eve an out to change the Bible, because she reads the Bible, says what the Bible says, and then keeps her mind and heart connected to what she thinks about it and how she feels about it. And now she can go and change whatever she wants. Because you see, she can't change what God said, but she can say to it, she said, touch not. But God never said touch not. And touch not and you'll die. But you won't die if you touch it. So we can change it. And that's how we can play with the Bible and our world, and why we're in this point historically in history at the end of the church age. So now, here we are looking, and therefore be it not careful, verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his vintage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because all of a sudden, you know, everyone's happy, but you cross somebody, and boy, what happens? What happened to the happiness? You cross them. You cross them. Oof. Well, as long as you do everything what they want, we could sit here, as we said, for years, and all of a sudden say, I never learned anything. Wow. That's because we're free. We haven't absorbed it. We can take everything like we're doing tonight. You can take it. And if you don't, if you try to fit what you feel and think to it, what's going to happen to it? You're free. You're never going to let it find a home in your heart in all of its magnificence. Hang on. Now, so here we are, and Shadrach and Abednego, and they spake in verse 19, and Nebuchadnezzar, therefore he spake and commanded that they should be heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. So here's the hot fire furnace. And they added more fuel. So it's 7 times hotter. Now, we can't even imagine what that is. But we do know what it is because, keep going, we do know what that means. Verse 20. And he commanded his most mighty men, the strongest, to take him. Here's Charles Atlas, if you don't remember Charles Peter. Then here they are, big people, and they take each man up in their arms and going to throw him in. Wow. Therefore, verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these men, were bound by their coats, they were bound in their coats. It's very important God helps us understand. They were fully dressed. They were dressed to go to the business. They had the suit on and everything. That's important. and their God, so coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments were cast into the midst of the burning fire furnace. In they go, fully furnished. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the guys, the big guys, all got killed just trying to get them into the fire. The fire is so hot, understandably. Firemen have that sometime, trying to do a fire, and the fire is so hot, it just overwhelms. Now, so here we are, and in verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fire furnace. So here's this red hot fire, coals, and whatever, on into the fire, right, straight on it. Well, and, verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king, we certainly did. We certainly did. Mm-hmm. Now, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. So who joined them in the fire? The pre-incarnate Christ. He joined them in the fire. He joined them. It's something. Now, verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came. If I was Nebuchadnezzar, I'd certainly understand. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake unto Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth. Now that's an interesting, it's come out of the fire, since you're walking around in there. Come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not the Lord, the three of them came forth out of the midst of fire. Now, when the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered, this is a big thing right now, the big image in Dura, in the plain of Dura, is nothing compared to the three guys that are stepping out of the furnace. So here's this whole field of people looking. Wow. Well, what's happening over there? Okay. Verse 27. And the princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Moses went up and down, and you'd never know he'd just been up, because it looked like he came down just like he went up. And here are these three men thrown into the furnace, and out they come, just as they went in. Their hats, their gloves, their little everything. Out they came, just like they went in, and not a hair was singed, not a hair. There was no smell of fire. Now God, you are something else. I want to understand. Okay. So therefore, response. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. That's what we're trying to understand. We're trying to understand that's what we're supposed to do. There's no mix-up. There's no my government's not my God. The people aren't my God. God is my God, your God. So therefore, verse 29. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, language, which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be cut in pieces, and their houses won't try burning them anymore, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver them after this sword. There's no God like that. That's right. There just isn't any God. Now, that's why I want you. I haven't gone anywhere yet. But God, you made an impression. That's what you gave us the book. And Moses was the penman to write and experience these things. Now, in the process, Moses and these three, God, you are able to do wonderful things. Uh-huh, I am. But the people down at the foot of the mountain in Moses' day, they didn't know. The people outside in Daniel's day, here they are, the hundreds, I don't know how many were there, all of them there in that big field full of people, wow. They didn't know anything about it. But Nebuchadnezzar said, the God that you guys worship, Daniel and your three of you, is some God. So therefore, when we're looking at us, we want to, in our frail bodies of clay, want that God. I want that God to be my God. Hang on. Now, how is that going to be? Over in the light of that, picking up, if you can, and having that little bit in mind, all coming out without any hutter, any problem. Now, so go over with me, please. Oh, to pick up, if I can. Oh, for time's sake, time's sake. It's too bad this virus didn't fix the clock. You know, and just stop the clock. Ah, okay, let's skip. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. And you will notice in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, picking up if I may, I'm going to get remember the context now of the church in Corinth. Remember that we did it the other day. Go over to chapter 1, verse 2, just to make sure we're on the same page. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Unto the church, the assembly of God, which is located in the city of Corinth, to them in that assembly that are sanctified, set apart, made holy, in Christ, where they, how did that happen? In Christ Jesus. And thus they are called to be saints, holy ones, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So there's a unique, wonderful relationship the Corinthians have to the Ephesians and the Philippians, etc., and to us. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, remember, he's building, and we are his God's. We shared it the other day. Somewhere, God, in verse 9, don't you do that? We are God's cultivated field. God's using your little heart to grow and exercise his wonderful garden, his wonderful products. And not only are we his cultured field, husbandry, we are God's building. Not only are we God's building, but God is our foundation. In verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. Now, what are we doing with the foundation? What are we supposed to do in the foundation? We aren't the foundation. He's the foundation. The only way you can do is make sure you build on a solid, think of Matthew 7 and that. Don't build in the sand. Build on a rock. So here we are looking, and the Lord Jesus Christ is our rock. And we're to exercise our relationship to God on the person of Jesus Christ, so that we're releasing it, so it's solid. So we can wander, fumble around, and try to learn and relearn and unlearn. We can do all of that, but we're on the same. We're resting. What are we resting on? We're resting on the Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved us. It's solid. So we can goof and fall down and do everything. But as long as we stay there, we're at least on the right place, so I don't have to find another foundation. I don't have to find another ground to hold me. I'm solid, 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 safe, sane. Here I am, resting. Now, having said that, on that foundation, verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. So we're going to build. What are we going to build? We're going to build a building. We're going to build a building, and the building is to be had good material, solid, eternal, fireproof material. That's what's to have. So now, picking up in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, clear, public, plain, for reason the day shall declare it. Because how is it going to be revealed? What kind of material have you used on the building, on the foundation? Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try, put to the test, every man's work of what sort or kind it is. So God's going to test all of our, here's your saved, I've been saved X years, X days, here I am, saved. And I say, God's going to test that. Now, how much of that is gold, silver, and precious stones? How much of that can't burn? It can't burn. Everything on here that can burn is going. All the things we do and say and think and try and dream about, whoops, all gone. All gone. But we gave ourselves to it. Doesn't matter. Gave yourself 40 years to rise up to that. And when you're all done, when you got your big trophy, here's your big trophies you win. Here they are. Now, what good are they? Here's all the trophies. What's going to happen to them? All the trophies line up. And you go in a box in the ground. But the trophies, well, I suppose if you really had a dedicated, you could have an extra big tombstone and put all the trophies in right next to you. What happened to the trophies? Nothing. But I gave my life. It doesn't matter. They don't go. You bring nothing in and you what? And you take nothing out. But we understand coming in with nothing, but we keep thinking, well, maybe it'll be different going out. No, it won't. Nope. All done. Now, so therefore, you're going to understand by fire. That's what God does. And verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Now God saves the heart and gives the heart an awesome responsibility to be able to have a stewardship of his life outworked in a daily basis. Work, home, school, play, hard, easy, much, little, pain, suffering, sorrow. That's what you do. And that's not to be outworked. And that's what God's looking for. And to the extent it is, that's good. To the extent it isn't, it's burned up. But a person is saved because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the consuming fire. Now, so therefore, nothing's going to happen. Not to the person. But boy, they can lose everything in the name of whatever, trying to find and have and achieve without paying attention. Now, having said that little bit, and I want you to go back up to verse 12. If any man build upon gold, silver, precious stone. I want to take the gold for a minute. Gold's real easy to see. Now, in the light of the gold, over to Revelation. In Revelation in chapter 3, as you know. And in Revelation chapter 3, picking up, please. And here's the church in Laodicea, the end of the age, which is where we are. We're at that point. I don't think that's even in question anymore. We're at the end of the age. So, here's the church in Laodicea. And the church in Laodicea is busy, busy, busy. It isn't hot, it isn't cold, it's lukewarm. You have to be either for me or against me, said the Lord. There's no such thing as neutral. You're either with me or against me. There's no neutral ground. Well, I'm halfway. No, you can't be. You can't be. God said that's impossible. And therefore I spew them out of my mouth. I'll read it. Verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that thou wert hot or cold. So then, being because that thou art lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I'm going to vomit you up. Now, what's their problem? Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. If you ask me, that's an awesome diagnosis. When God tells you, you're wretched, poor, blind, and naked. I mean, that's not a very good human condition, if you ask me. Now, and therefore God, now, and remember we did this Sunday in that, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and where is he? He's outside knocking. Present tense, knocking. He said, listen, does anyone want, anyone, not ten, singular, not plural. Is there anyone that will let me in to that person's heart? Not to the building. I want to find anyone that will open their heart. Now see, because, we're busy. Uh-huh. Now, hang on, and you'll catch it as you know it. Verse 18. What are you going to say, God, to them? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness, think of Adam and Eve covering themselves. Think of the shame of thy nakedness, do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. Why? That thou mayest see. I suggest you buy gold tried in the fire. Uh-huh. What are we going to do with that foundation? We're building gold, silver, precious stone. That's what we're building. Gold. Well, gold. I don't know what the gold. I don't have gold. Gold. That's not gold. No. That's Timex. Timex, 24 carat. Whatever carats are. No. Gold. Okay. I want you to buy gold. That's what I suggest you do. Now, how are you going to buy gold that's going to go on that foundation that can survive the fire test? Now, God, we read about Moses and Meshach and Abednego, and we got that a little bit. We got your God, the consuming fire. Uh-huh. Over to 1 Peter. And 1 Peter chapter 1. And you will note, Peter, what are you going to say to us to help us before you disappear and go there? And now, 1 Peter and chapter 1, picking up, please, verse 4. We are to be having a living hope unto an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, and who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, that's a wonderful, wonderful hope, future, expectancy. That's awesome. We're going to do that Sunday, maybe. Now, in the light of that, verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold, many kinds, times, all different kinds and shapes and sizes of temptation, proof being put to the proof, put to the test. Wow, all kinds of tests to whether we can survive. Now, what about all those tests? Verse 7, that purpose, that the trial, putting to the proof, putting on trial of your faith. Remember we said earlier, believe. You don't have to discuss it. Do it. Have faith. Have faith in God. Period. Don't have to play with it, just do it. We've got to think about it. No, that's the trouble. That's the trouble. The minute we start playing with it, we aren't believing anymore, unfortunately. And that's what happens. We have to overcome that. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4, casting down every high thought in your head and heart that exalts itself against against his word, and you crush it down. That doesn't mean you're walking around all frustrated all the time. It just means that you're thanking God that, well, you know all these things. If you 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him, and the blood of Jesus Christ is what? Cleansing us from all sin. We're clean. Clean. We're dirty, but clean. Understand? You generate dirt, sin, old nature, thought, word, deed, and God keeps cleaning you. He forgave you. He forgave you. The next 10 years of your life are already forgiven. The next 20 years of your life are already forgiven. Aren't they? No. They better be. That's why you're saved. And so, God, what are we doing? Well, the trying of your faith. That's what you're going to do. Is going to do what? Verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of what? Gold. Well, back to gold again. That's right. That which doesn't burn. It doesn't burn up. It's precious. God's glorious person is precious. Gold, gold. Gold, the ark, the mercy seat, all of these things, gold, gold, at last. Mm-hmm. And that's what God said. I want you to go. Where am I going to get it? In the fire test. In the fire test. God said, I'm going to make sure that when I set you apart at the Bema seat of Christ, you are all going to be one perfect person in my Son. And you'll never have another. I'm going to make sure there's nothing. Everything in your life that isn't of me is gone. All gone. And it's just going to be me. Remember our Lord, Matthew chapter 17, on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter, James, and John are there. And who's going to be there? Moses? Moses? Moses is doing pretty good. Moses and Elijah. And they said, well, boy, and they recognized. I can't tell you how they knew. They knew. They never met Moses. They never met Elijah. There are no pictures. There they were. And the minute Moses and Peter, James, and John said, let's keep us all together. And what did God do? Matthew 17:8, he took them away. And they saw only Jesus. It isn't about Moses. It isn't about the prophets. It's about the Son of God. And you're learning to trust him with all your heart. And that's what it's all about, the trying of your faith. The trying of your faith in verse 7 is more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Might be found under the praise and honor and glory of at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Wow. Now God, that's what we're looking for. That's right. Fire. Fire. God is a consuming fire. Mm-hmm. I am. I'm holy. I consume anything, everything. And it either passes my righteousness or it doesn't. And anything that isn't measured up to my righteousness must go. It cannot stay. That's why when you get saved, what does God do? He became sin for us. Who knew? So that God, as he becomes sin for us, we understand He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God by him. And that's where your righteousness, I've told you that 5,000 times. And you have to learn it, understand it, and enjoy it. It isn't your rightness of what you think or say or do. No, you're learning to rest in God's wonderful righteousness. And as you rest in his righteousness, and you go through all the things, and you learn to trust him by faith, in the trying of your faith, wow. Now what's it going to do? The fire, fire, fire. God said, do you understand? You're going to come into my presence. And I am holy, and if I may use the illustration for stay with that, I am a consuming fire, and you're going to come smack into my presence and survive. Not one thing is going to be hurt you. You are untouchable. You are invincible in my presence. Now, I don't know what more you could ask for. I don't know what more. So God, my frail body, and the system I live in, all that's going on around and about, fear, frustration, all kinds of stuff. God, it isn't about that. No, it's about my relationship to you. And I need to practice it, God. You're a consuming fire. And I want to understand that. So God, that's why we confess our sin, so we don't have to get it burned up later. Take care of it now. We think of Corinthians, I got to quit. 1 Corinthians 11. If we judge ourselves, then what? If you judge yourself now, what? You shall not be judged. You take care of it now. Take care of it. Confess. Boom. All gone. Wasn't that easy? It's easy because Christ died to make it easy. Wow. Now, God, you're an awesome God. God. And when he comes, he's the God. I can't do it anymore. Just think of it. God is an awesome God. And you ought to appreciate. So when you say, God, what do I know about God? I know he's a consuming fire. That's what I know about God. And I'm not looking at a little bushfire. I'm not looking at a building burning down. I'm not looking at a riot as burning a whole town. I'm looking at God's fire. And that makes everything else like nothing. Wow.